In the late 1960s, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In was looking for someone new to join the cast. Producer George Schlatter remembered a comedian he'd once seen, a dark-haired young woman with a wide smile, whose whole act was to tap dance with tape on the bottom of her foot. He found Lily Tomlin, who joined the cast, and the country got to know some of her signature characters: Ernestine, the dismissive telephone operator; Edith Ann, the incisive 5-year-old. Lily Tomlin then went on to appear in films, including Nashville, 9 to 5, All of Me. She mounted one-woman shows, appearing nightly, The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. And now, Lily Tomlin has been chosen to receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. She joins past winners Richard Pryor, Carl Reiner, Jonathan Winters, Whoopi Goldberg, and Bob Newhart. And now Lily Tomlin joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Scott. Thanks.
A couple of things that, you know, as I went over your biography that intrigued me. First, I thought these two facts were in opposition, but maybe you can help us put them together. You once studied mime.
Yes.
And secondly, you were once a cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. Apparently you've never seen Marcel Marceau do his work at the Lakers game.
I couldn't hear what he was saying, so I didn't know it was him.
I must say I was a cheerleader for far longer than I was a mime.
You wanted to be you were a pre-med student at one point, right?
Yeah. I want to be able to support myself, and I didn't know you could have a career in show business. I didn't know the stuff that I've been doing as a child over and over and over again, mm-hmm. putting on shows and imitating the neighbors and stuff like that. I had no idea that you got paid for stuff like that. It seemed unrealistic to a blue-collar kid mm-hmm. in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yes.
Well, what gave you the nerve to try and make it into something more than that for you?
While I was in pre-med, mm-hmm. I was in a zoology class with a girl that I'd gone to high school with, and she'd been voted prettiest girl, and she was like Snow White's stepmother. You know, I really don't know. And so she would just devastate me, flatten me. So then she said, you know, I'm going over to the Bonstell Theater, the university theater. It's just to read for the Mad Woman of Chaillot. You should come along. There are a lot of small parts. So I literally got a small part in the Mad Woman of Chaillot.
Would it give you some pleasure to remember her name now?
No, I'm not. No, right, okay. She's my good friend. I adored her as a friend, and we spent a lot of, you know, semi-formative years together. And the last time I phoned her and I said, you and I should connect, and mm-hmm. She said, well, I'm fat now. I said, well, just how fat are you? Because it was just ludicrous. Anyway, so I went over, and I literally got a walk-on, and in the walk-on, I would lead this improvisation down a big staircase, and I would just improv, and every day when we have rehearsal, all the kids who were theater majors, they would run out to see what I was going to do, and they'd say to me really intensely, like, do you know what kind of concentration you have? And I had no idea, you know, that what they even meant in terms of acting.
We have a few clips of some of your characters. We'll play Ernestine.
Here at the phone company, we handle 84 billion calls a year, serving everyone from presidents and kings to the scum of the earth. So we realize that every so often you can't get a call through. We don't care. Watch this. Just lost Peoria. Here in this computer room, we have a matrix of multi-billion dollar space-age technology that is so sophisticated that even we can't handle it. But that's your problem, isn't it? We don't care. We don't have to. We're the phone company.
Except now they're like half a dozen phone
yeah.
companies.
But... Oh, you're telling me. I might as well work at Taco Bell.
Was Ernestine someone you actually knew? Or?
No, Ernestine was just one of those incredibly serendipitous stumble-ons because I was going to do a kind of Bronx operator or something, you know. But as I told it, it got so sexual, so repressed. The sexuality was so repressed that her body got tight and my face got so tight that she would just snort automatically. It was just somehow physically, organically, it just happened, and don't know what else to say about it.
I don't mean to treat you like a jukebox, but Edith Ann?
Yes, Scott. So you have these earphones, and then if you take them like this and you let them snap back.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, they make a really good sound in your head. Yes, I like that. And I like this. I like to make these noises on this. I like to say this.
Yeah. What's the difference between being, you've got to see Lily Tomlin, she's an up-and-coming comic, she's just great, and you have to see Lily Tomlin, she's a living national treasure.
I try to always be relevant, you know, in my performance, but the characters are still familiar, and when I used to go around in the old days, I would really be passionate. I'd say, I have to go to Des Moines because they don't know what Lud and Marie are doing now. And I wanted my fans to know what the characters were, what they were evolving or what was happening in their lives. I used to open my box offices, you know, and one year I opened my first Broadway show. I opened it as Mrs. Beasley in New York in 1977 as a Red Cross volunteer. The conceit was that because your fan base is so young, they literally are sleeping outside in sleeping bags in February to try to get front row seats and stuff. So Mrs. Beasley comes down in a 40s Red Cross outfit, you know, with the veil and everything. We had an ambulance. And they're all so into it. See, it's not like, I mean, you do it for yourself and for the fun of that kind of theater. And you do it because you have so much communication. And kids are saying, like, Mrs. Beasley, I'm glad to know that you and Harold are still together. You know, because Mrs. Beasley found lipstick on Harold's collar once in a hidden camera commercial. For laundry detergent. This is my description of Mrs. Beasley is that she's so completely in earnest. You know, she's so decent. She's so tolerant. She's really quite expansive for somebody that's so lacks enjoyment.
A month ago, I never talked about sex and thought even less about it. To me, the term sexual freedom meant freedom from having to have sex. Then along came good vibrations. As a love object, it surpasses Harold by a country mile. Think of it as a hamburger helper for the boudoir. I know it's hard to believe that a woman like me, brought up to think sex is dirty, could be up here demonstrating these products. I must admit, I still believe sex is dirty, but now I wouldn't have it any other way.
I don't know when I performed that. That's funny.
Let me just ask you this lastly. Do you see the gift you have to make people laugh as a gift in their lives that you can give them?
Yes, I do. I was, before I was known, I was friends with Joan Rivers in New York. And she had a TV show that was originated in New York. And so she had me on one time as an unknown comedian. Mm-hmm. And so I finished and the audience was just howling. And I go out to the elevator and there's a street person there, literally a bag lady with like no teeth, ulcerated legs, literally chapped and, you know, from being outdoors. And she saw me at the elevator and she said, oh, you're a funny girl. She said, you gave me a big laugh this morning and I really needed it. And she was it was so leveling and so epiphanous, you know. I know that it's a wonderful continuum and a gift to the audience if I can deliver it right, you know, because I know that they're affirmed, validated, renewed, because I am. And it makes life just that much more beautiful.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Lily Tomlin, who will receive the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor Sunday at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., to see some video of some of Ms. Tomlin's classic routines, you can go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.